fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with my good friend, John Kazanjian, who I've been able to persuade to come on the program to be able to talk a little bit about his own story and his own journey. And the main point, and I hope if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program so far this week, that you go to our website at renewalministries.net. The first 2 days this week of interviewing John are right there archived on our website. You can listen to them on the computer or download them on whatever device works for you, so you can
listen
to anything.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Every day.
You could call John for a tutorial on
Absolutely.
How to do that if
I'd
you need,
be happy to.
If you need to do that. But anyway, welcome back, John.
Thanks, Peter.
So we've been talking quite a bit about our theme this week, essentially, is becoming a disciple, maybe, or learning how to become a follower of Jesus or imitating Jesus in his church, you know, and that how important it is for each person mm-hmm. to make that decision. And you touched on some really important aspects of it. Where the Lord's going to lead us when he says, come follow me. The first instinct, especially guys, is, okay, where are we going? And he leads us into deeper prayer, deeper relationship with him, deeper engagement in sacraments and life of the church. He leads us into other relationships, because there really are family relationships is what he wants us to have, isn't
right.
it, in,
yeah.
in the church?
And mainly with him.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you think what you're doing is you're giving up. You're losing. You're giving up control. You're losing control. And in reality, you're gaining everything.
Yeah.
Because you're gaining Christ. And when you gain Christ, you haven't lost anything. In fact, you've gained everything.
Yeah.
You've gained the best thing you could ever have.
But when a lot of times when you start, men kind of circle around saying, wait a minute, do I want to do this? Am I trading up or am I trading down here? Is this going to be a win for me?
Right.
Is this going to deliver? Do I really want to do this?
Because the offer of the world is constantly before your eye.
Yeah.
It never stops. It hasn't stopped for me. I know it hasn't stopped for you either. But what the world has to offer is always there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's always saying, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. You're losing out. You're missing out right now, actually.
Yeah.
That's the world. That's the devil trying to tempt you. And that's why it's really important to stay connected to Christ in prayer and in fellowship with others.
It's crazy how difficult it is for us as human beings to be honest and to believe what not only the Lord, but the wisdom of the church and the saints have told us, that the way you find happiness is not in being preoccupied of how can I make myself happy,
mm-hmm.
but it's losing yourself in love of God and love of neighbor. And that just sounds counterintuitive or
it
something, because
it's
to the flesh it is counterintuitive, because it goes from it's all about me to guess what? It's not all about you.
Right.
And that's a big turn, isn't it?
It's a constant.
Yeah. And the temptation is to always be anxious about, am I getting enough? Am I having enough? And we get suckered into the vortex of the world that says, really, it is true that what you possess, what you have, what you acquire, what you can do, how much money you have, that is going to define who you are, your power, your whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And circling everything around you.
Right. Your comfort.
Yeah. Right.
The comfort I experience in my life, the comfort I experience in my car, the comfort that I experience in my house,
yeah.
all those things that speak to me and say, oh, life is so good.
Yeah. Don't forget about yourself and pampering yourself with the idea. But the reality is, and people learn this when they're on their deathbed. On their deathbed, what do people say? I wish I would have had more money. I wish mm-hmm. I'd have gone more times on this cruise or that cruise. But no, I wish I would have given my time and energy to something more meaningful, like loving my family, like loving the people in my life, like loving God more and all that. And when we're in it, when we feel vital and young, that stuff, it's easy not to pay attention to that, because we're after
right.
what's going to make, we perceive is going to make us happy,
yeah.
powerful, influential,
yeah.
or whatever. And one of the things the community helps do, this your description about the importance of being in fellowship together and having a relationship is, when we become disciples, Jesus brings us into family-like relationships. That's the goal and the intent. Parishes don't always reach that goal in life, but it's a very important piece, because friendship is meant to be a deep source of encouragement and consolation for us in the Lord, and encouragement to say that we can really do this.
And so, it is especially for me.
Yeah.
You know me.
Yeah.
Probably the greatest joys during the year are times in which I'm away with my family,
mm-hmm.
just enjoying them, going to Mass daily, mm-hmm. having dinner together, going on vacations with the bros together, having time to pray, going to mass in the morning, and just enjoying one another's company, talking about the important things in life and the fun things. I mean, just so much joy, so much pleasure, so much, this is the way it was meant to be. That's key. But I think there are parts to it along the way that you're learning when you're not in those situations, when you're on your own, when you're private, when nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And that's really when the rubber hits the road. I mean, there's no doubt about it because, I mean, just take something like what I do with my money.
Mm-hmm.
I was recently in California for a week visiting my dad who's been sick. I've got a lot of family there still. All my cousins are there. Very successful people. I mean, you drive up to a house. I swear to you, Peter, I did not drive up to one of my relatives' house, and there was at least $100,000 or $150,000 worth of cars parked out in front of the house.
Yeah.
And I just think, I could have this. I could have done this. This is where my life was headed. I have been more successful business-wise than these people, and this is not what makes me tick. Now, I'm not trying to judge my relatives. I love them. I love spending time with them. We have fantastic time together. But I just think this isn't where my life, this was my life's trajectory, but I decided to do something different.
This is an interesting area that you bring up to say, again, the big picture, what we're talking about this week is what does it mean to become a learner and a follower of Jesus?
Right.
And what Jesus is committed to do in each one of our lives is to present us ultimately perfect to the Father. He says, you know, you must be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. We know, if we're honest with ourselves, we're unbelievably imperfect on so many levels. There's corruption in our hearts. We love the wrong things. But he's saying, if you follow me, I will change you. And so what that means is you have to sort of step by step, he'll lead us, you have to give up the idols in your life. What is it that you really have first in your heart? What is it that you're counting on as the provision for your life? Is it Christ? Is it his plan for you? Or is it your money, for example? And so this is a key area, again, especially for men, but I think everybody is to say, you know, Jesus talked a lot about money in the Bible. He warned about it all the time. He didn't say disciples can't have money, but he warned about the power of money.
Right.
John Cardinal Newman put it this way, which I think is so true. He said, with money, we believe that all things are possible, you know, instead of with God, all things are possible, which is money's the ticket for my happiness, really.
Right.
Because money gives me autonomy. It allows me to make the decisions I want, to possess what I have. It gives me a sense of security and safety, all that kind of stuff. So we can lean on money as if money functions like God in my life and a kind of idol. I'm trusting in it. And that's where I feel secure. Paul says, no, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to have a lot. I know how to have nothing.
Right.
And what I've come to see in him who's the source of my strength, I have strength for everything. That in fact, Jesus is the pearl of great price.
Sure.
So talk about how that unfolded for you.
Peter, when we first met, I had $5. Came from California, had $100, got a ticket on the way. Was $95 for speeding through Utah. So I got here with $5. July 7th. of 1984. Was it 83? I think it was 83.
Yeah.
So what happened? So you go to school, you start working, God gives you the money you need.
You went to U of M, right?
Yeah, I went to U of M. And you think, you know, all I need is enough to get married. I just want to make sure that I have enough to care for my family.
Yeah.
And started working, then started a business on my own, immediately started experiencing some success. Success beyond what I had imagined, and that was over 20 years ago. And as time goes on, more and more success.
What did you do in those early days? So you didn't have a lot of money, you were starting a family, but in that case, in that situation and time in your life, what did you learn about how you're supposed to relate to money in your life, even
One
then?
Principle.
Mm-hmm.
There was really one principle.
Mm-hmm.
I could not outdo God in generosity.
Hmm.
I really learned the importance of tithing.
Mm-hmm.
I really learned, and for me, tithing wasn't 10%. I really love Rick Warren's approach.
Mm-hmm.
He's continually given more and more a greater percentage of his money away. I think it's an amazing ideal that he gives over 90-some percent of his money away. Now, obviously, he makes a lot more money. He doesn't take a salary from the church, but he also wrote a book that has published 65 million copies. For me, it just meant how do I be generous? How can I be generous with others? I do not want to be outdone in generosity with anyone. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of the commanding principle. And the important thing there was that Michelle, my wife, supported it.
Yeah.
She really is an incredibly generous person and has taught me a lot about generosity and letting go.
Yeah.
So I would say just in terms of learning how to bring my money under the authority of Christ, it's been a long, hard learning process. Like, I don't like to pay taxes.
Yeah.
I like to figure out how not to. I like to figure out how to avoid it. I want to
legally avoid it.
Yeah. So the principle I'd like to live by is to give to God what is God and give to God what is Caesar's.
Yeah.
That would be my principle if I were to decide.
So money is a kind of power, and that it's meant to be just a neutral means of exchange. But because of our fallen nature, because of our fear and anxiety about life, the future, needing security, because of our search for identity, our search for influence and power, we can really lean on money as this is totally key for me to be happy. That's mm-hmm. number one.
Mm-hmm.
And that can displace the Lord as the central source of your happiness and identity.
Right.
So there's a battle there on that
right.
level, right? Another part of it is the idea that that has to change is that somehow my money's my own.
Because
mm-hmm. when I become Christ's, everything belongs to Jesus.
Right.
Everything belongs to him.
Right.
That's the turn that happens. And so there's a battle that can go on. And this is a tough one for guys to say, mm-hmm. okay, I get it. I need to give some of my time here. I need to talk about this. I need to be involved in that. But don't talk to me about what I'm supposed to do with my money. My money's right. my money. You know what I mean? And
you can live under that delusion, but you're not going to get far.
Right. And so it's one of the last things a guy is willing to give over to the Lord.
Yeah.
And listen, we're not saying today that Jesus is telling you to give away 90% of your income
right.
tomorrow. But you are saying that you need to be dead serious about giving probably at least a tithe, 10%,
sure.
as a goal, because it's biblical. But the Catholic Church doesn't require that. It's not
yeah.
saying you have to do that.
Sure.
But the generosity of heart and
right.
freedom to give to those in need, and the rest is something
again,
that...
Again, this yeah. is, again, the importance of having really good people around you who you're looking at saying, what kind of car are the guys that I really look up to driving that are really serving Christ? I recently bought a tiny house in my neighborhood and renovated it because I want my kids to live nearby me. And it just so happens to be across the street from Ralph.
Ralph Martin,
Ralph Martin. I went to Ralph and I said, are you moving? And he said, I don't want to move. I like my neighborhood. I don't want to move into an ostentatious house. I'm going to die here if they let me.
Yeah.
See, that attitude to me, that speaks a lot. That tells me not only about my house, but it says, here's a man following Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Follow him.
And the only way to be able to make these kinds of decisions, it's a place where the Lord helps instill trust in us. Because if I give 10% of my income, that means I'm not going to be able to do this, that, or the other thing. And the concern is, am I going to be happy? Am I going to have enough? Is mm-hmm. everything going to be okay? And to say, no, the place of safety, the place of security and happiness is in the will of God.
Right.
So, Jesus, what do you want of me? Just tell me, Lord, I'm all in. I want to do that because I know that's the road to happiness.
That's right.
That's a big, big deal. So, friends, hope you can join us again tomorrow. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.